all day, every day. All I want to do, I'm just dying to get another shot at the big league level.
Lookout Landing Podcast, episode 10. We are at 10 episodes. I expressed how remarkable that was the last time we were at 9, but we're at 10, so that is more remarkable. We've got an amazing, amazing guest today, and I'm not underselling that at all. It's former Mariners pitcher Ryan Roland Smith. Ryan pitched for the Mariners. He was in the Mariners organization from 2001 to 2010. Left after 2010, and he's been in the minor league since then. He's currently with AAA Pawtucket, which is the Boston Red Sox affiliate. He's having an amazing, amazing year in relief. Really awesome interview. I'm underselling it. He's extremely candid, extremely honest. He told me a whole bunch of things that I didn't know about his departure from Seattle. Talks about his biggest regrets that he has, things that he wished that he'd done differently. And we talked about the World Baseball Classic a little bit and how that can be better. Some of his frustrations with the 40-man roster, Situate waiver process and all that. Really, really interesting stuff. Amazing candid interview. I'm saying amazing a lot because it really is. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Ryan Roland Smith.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for doing this.
Not a problem, dude. No worries at all.
So I just wanted to kind of ask how everything was going. I know you're having a really good season in Pawtucket there. You missed a month there with appendicitis, but your stats are fantastic. And how's everything going out there?
Yeah, it's going really well. You know, I had, like you said, the appendicitis, probably at the worst time. There was a lot of shuffling going around beginning of that month. And, you know, there's a couple times there where, you know, the coaching staff came in and just said, hey, you know, like, yeah, basically, you know, said next couple of days, we're just taking it easy on you because you might be going up. And I get excited, and then all of a sudden, there I am getting rushed off to have an emergency appendectomy. You know, so it's like, that's probably the most frustrating thing about the season is the timing of that, you know, a non-baseball-related injury, because I was feeling great, man. I mean, I feel like I'm back or even better than what I was when I was doing really well over in Seattle, you know, and I'm just waiting for that, that window, which, you know, just seems to hasn't quite come yet, you know, and I'm just waiting for that, and it's just, that's the most frustrating part. But besides that, every time I go out, I feel great, and, you know, I just feel like I did back in, 2008, 2009, when I was over in Seattle.
Yeah, that's great. And one thing I've kind of noticed is that being out of the bullpen, I don't know if you can talk about how this has changed, but the control has been a lot better this year, and the strikeouts are up. Is it something that you've kind of changed in your approach or in your arsenal that's allowed you to be more effective?
Yeah, I guess, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if it was the last couple of years if I paid attention, but there's a time there, especially in 2009 when I was with Seattle, but I was frustrated because I wasn't getting strikeouts. And I was like, oh, you know, I was pitching great, and I was getting really deep in the games and trying to get quick outs. But, you know, it's like the, you do as a pitcher, and whether it is, you want those strikeouts because it feels like you're, you know, dominating the game a lot more and gets your confidence up, this and that. But actually, the last couple off seasons, I've been working out with Tom House, you know what I mean, who, you know, a bit of a pitching guru, but working out with him and, you know, done a lot of the, the mechanical side, which has helped me out a lot the last couple of years, especially this season, just with my command and things like that, but more so psychologically. He's got me back on track psychologically, and, you know, and just bearing down on, I've always, you know, had good command as a pitcher, you know, coming up to the minor leagues and stuff like that. But I got so caught up in worrying about things that, you know, I mean, like, a lot of pitchers go through it, out of your control, and, you know, off the field and things like that. And, you know, him and I, Tom and I talk constantly just about, you know, especially when the appendectomy came, I can't control that. And just worrying about, okay, for example, right now it's 1 p.m., I'm probably going to pitch tonight, and that's it. That's all that I should be concerned with is just when I'm getting out, whether it's a 6th, 7th, 8th inning, whatever it is, worrying about just getting ahead of the count and just worrying about that, as opposed to, well, it's 1 p.m. and it's August, whatever it is, August 20th or 19th, whatever it is. oh, you know, what's going on with this season, this and that. So I get caught up in, I start to catastrophize things, and him and I, he constantly reminds me, he's just, you know, all I should be thinking about right now is what happens for that 20 minutes that I'm out pitching. And that makes, as broad as that sounds, it makes a huge difference.
Right. Yeah, and you've kind of seen that role kind of change throughout the year, too. You know, just looking through what you've done, it seems like you were kind of pitching a lot of, pitching a lot of multiple innings in the beginning of the year, and then you've moved a little bit more into, you know, one inning or even just getting, like, one out. How has that been kind of evolving into a different role? Does that play into the mental aspect at all?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, it comes back to, you know, as broad as it sounds, as hey, when you're out there, you're pitching no matter what. But lately, pitching coach, you know, approached me and said, hey, look, the last couple of weeks of the season, you know, we're going to have you come out really short stints and you're going to pitch in a lot of games. You know, basically, so we've got 19 games that you're probably going to pitch in 14 of them. And, you know, you just sort of say, I want to show that you can, you know, you've been getting lefties and I want to show you can do that.
Right.
And so he said to me, hey, you're going to probably come in and face lefties. And so then you start thinking in your head, you know, you worry about, oh, that's the only out I'm going to get, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But for me, I'm out pitching all different kinds of roles. You know, whether it's minor leagues and the big leagues, even winter ball, you know, you come in to face that one hitter. And, you know, I mean, that's what one of my, one thing that I have is versatility. And you know, I want to show that I can, you know, obviously go multiple innings. I can start and I can face lefty. So, yeah, that whether it's one inning, one hitter, or, you know, multiple innings, I'm always just trying to keep that consistent mindset with what I've just talked about before, and you know, worrying about, okay, I'm out there 10, 20 minutes worth, getting ahead in the count. I mean, whether you're starting in the bullpen or whatever it is, you watch. I mean, even Cliff Lee's talked about that all the time. The best thing I got from him when we played together was, he said, you watch. He goes, if I'm ahead in the count, I'm pitching in the eighth inning. If I'm behind the count, I'm done after five or six, I've given up four runs. You know? And I mean, that's coming from him, one of the best pitchers in, and obviously he gets ahead in the count, more times than he does not. And so it always comes down to, hey, just get ahead in the count, and you'll be okay, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. I mean, is it, I want to talk about this real quick. I've noticed, too, that this year when there's runners on base, you have significantly increased your strikeouts, and is that something that you're looking to do differently than when there's nobody on base?
Where do you find me to find this information? I had no idea. I need to get access to this information.
Everything's on the internet, my friend. Everything's on the internet.
Man, I need to get on there. Are you talking about when my runner's on base or when someone else's, or either way, either or?
When you're pitching and there's runners on base, your strikeout rate is almost double as when the bases are empty.
Oh, wow. Well, geez, I wish I knew that. That'd be good to know. You need to send me some links. I think it's more so, too, especially at the AAA level, when a guy's on, you know, like as a hitter, their mentality, and I talk to hitters, you know, before the games and stuff, you watch in AAA, guys are trying to get that RBI, and they're trying to be really aggressive, more so than if no one's on base.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, you know what, I'm going to, you know, just turn on the 95, 96 miles per hour and start striking to the level when there's runners on base. But I think it's more so with the hitters. You can pitch away from contact, more so with runners on base, because knowing, especially young hitters, or even the big leagues too, I guess, there's that runner on second, they can see it, there's that runner on third or whatever, and all of a sudden they're way more aggressive and they're taking bigger swings and pitches out of the zone. So for me, you know, I'm like, okay, runner on second, let's be a little bit more careful here.
Mm-hmm.
And make that good quality pitch just outside the zone. That's probably why you get the swings and misses more so than you do with no one on base.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, you're having, obviously, a fantastic season. Yeah, the ERA is great. The peripherals look good. Everything's great. But, you know, I'm sure, like you said, it's frustrating just waiting for an opportunity. I'm kind of interested in your thoughts about, you know, the whole roster process in the major leagues, like the 40-man roster, And, you know, the 40-man roster is full, and it makes it hard for a team to bring up someone like you because someone else has to go or, you know, move someone to the 60-day DL or something. Is that a source of frustration for you? Do you wish it was a different way of shuffling players around?
Yeah, I mean, in the position, if I was 24 right now and I was my first year on the roster, I had, you know, different options and stuff like that, I'd probably have a way different answer. But, you know, in my situation, yes, it is frustrating because you're looking around, like, every time, you know, someone will go up, well, then I've got a, you know, a staff member or something come over and go, well, you know, he's on the roster, so up he goes. I think, ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, a team who wants to win, wants to have the best players up there, at the end of the day, but at the same time, there's been times this year, you want to pull your hair out because, hey, I'm doing better than that guy, but, hey, you know, he's on the roster, he can easily go up and down. Yeah, the one thing that I haven't been involved with, but I've noticed the last couple of years, is the amount of waiver claims. Players just getting moved around. And I, you know, personally think there's got to be some sort of structure with that. I mean, you saw Adam Rosales go back and forth within, you know, what was it, a week or something like that.
Right.
I mean, that's nuts. You know, that's crazy. I know when I was with the Cubs last year, pitching great, every single time a pitcher was on waivers, it seemed like the Cubs grabbed them, picked them up. And it's like, geez, like, and I think, you know, with the you know, like I said, the waiver claims and things like that, that's something that's just seems to have gotten out of control the last couple of years. I don't know if it's just me noticing it, or, you know, like, especially with, you know, the teams like the Blue Jays, the Cubs, you know, the A's.
Yeah, I mean, Casper Wells has been in five different organizations this year, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. That's the one thing, you know, the shuffling with that. I think, yeah, if they had some sort of structure or some regulations with that, yeah, that's the one thing. But in my situation, yes, it is frustrating when, you know, well, you know, I don't have any options. You know, I've been told that earlier on in the year. Well, they've had to, yeah, put me through waiting to bring me down and things like that. Very frustrating when you're 30 years old and you've got 3.5 years of major league experience.
Right.
And you're sitting here pitching great and you've got to deal with that. Yeah, it's very frustrating. But at the same time, it all depends on where you're at in your career and you know, I mean, I can go back and say, well, you know, maybe things, if I you know, did things differently personally a couple of years ago, well, then I wouldn't have to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, you know, when I left Mariners and, you know, they made me an offer and I turned it down, that was probably the biggest regret I have, and maybe things would have been differently. So it all goes back to, you know what, if you pitch well, good things happen, and I just have to worry about that and not get caught up in, you know, who's on the roster, who's not, and, yeah, who's doing this and who's doing that. It's very tough. I've got to admit, it's very tough to deal with, but it's just something you've got to, in my position, being 30 years old, something you've got to deal with.
Sure. And what was that moment you talked about not taking an offer? Who was that from?
Well, that was in 2010, when the Mariners, after I had that absolute disaster of a year in 2010, when I just absolutely choked. I was arbitration eligible at the end of that season, and, you know, I kind of pressured myself that year, and I just absolutely choked. But, you know, whether for the 100 reasons I can come up with, I still think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of that, well, the Mariners made an offer, and they said, take this, we're going to attend to you. And I never wanted to leave Seattle, put it that way. Man, I loved it there. I absolutely loved it there.
Right.
Like, even in 2010 when I was struggling, I loved it there because they treated me like a professional. And they gave me every opportunity I could ask for, and they made an offer, and I tried to, you know, sort of stick up for myself and say, well, you know, I feel like I'm worth more than I've had a good career, and they said, well, take this offer, we're going to non-tend you, and then sure enough, I said, I feel like I'm worth more than what you're asking, and you know, that's something I look back, and then sure enough, like 2 hours later, I looked on, actually on Twitter, and sure enough, they non-tended me, and I was yeah, really upset because I was like, well, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's the first time I've ever been a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed with, you know, the Houston Astros, and that was just an absolute, yeah, just the biggest regret I have is not taking that and having another opportunity for the next spring training with the Mariners, you know?
Yeah, well,
that's how that went down.
I imagine those decisions are incredibly difficult. I mean, you just had to make another tough decision, I'm sure, because you had an opt-out clause in your contract, right? And you decided to stay with Pawtucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the reason for that is because I pitched, twice before that. You know, that August 5th, I got pushed back. It's normally July, it's supposed to be July 15th. I got pushed back, because I was back at home with stitches in my stomach. Mm-hmm. So the thing was for me, August 5th was when they pushed it back, which was nice of them to push it back. They wanted to keep me, this and that. But I ditched twice, before that opt-out day. I really had no leverage whatsoever. And it was a situation where I was like, I'm pitching great. Why not just opt out and become a free agent? Now I can just go wherever there's a good opportunity. But the thing was, I was pitching well here. I really like the Red Sox organization. It actually reminds me of, coming up with the Mariners organization quite a lot, just the way they treat their players. I loved it here. I was like, what am I going to do? Opt out. I'm not going to go to a big league team anyway. I'm going to go to a Triple A team somewhere and have to start all over again. Who knows? And, who knows what I'm in for? Just like when I saw on Houston, actually, I had no idea what I was in for.
Right.
So I was like, let's just stay here. Hopefully they can, renegotiate a different kind of opt-out, and they did. So I was like, hey, let's just stay here and keep doing what I'm doing, and, maybe I might go up with the Red Sox, maybe I don't, but I've had a good year regardless. So it was tough. It's basically I had zero leverage to move on to another team, and so I just decided to stay here.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see. How do you feel right now going down the stretch? I mean, obviously you're in the middle of the season. Pawtucket's in a playoff race, but I'm sure part of your head is maybe hoping for an opportunity at the big league level. And there's just a couple weeks left in the season. How do you kind of balance your mind going through all that? I guess it goes back to keeping things simple.
Once again, it comes down to, I'm on the 40-man roster. They've got, Matt Thornton's about to come back. They seem pretty high on Drake Britton. I mean, I'm just throwing little thoughts and things that come out to, the reasons why I wouldn't get an opportunity. But, I think about it, trust me, all day, every day. All I want to do, I'm just dying to get another shot at the big league level. And right now, I'm in the best frame of mind. I'm so super confident when I go out to pitch, and I want to finish this year strong. But every day I'm just thinking that every day I go out to pitch, I'm like, okay, this, let's show them something. Because in my situation too, the team that you're with, when they're looking at a guy who's not on the roster, who's 30 years old, and he's whatever's happened the last couple of years, they seem to draw the negatives. Like, let's say, for example, you go out and throw two innings and you pitch great, but you might walk a guy or you get behind the count or something. It seems like, for me personally, I feel like they're looking, they go, oh, well, he slipped behind the count, or, hey, you walked a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's always, it's always that feeling you have. It's like you really have to be nails out there. You have to be perfect to get an opportunity. And that's, so every time I go, I'm like, hey, don't slip behind the count on one hitter. Don't walk a guy. Whereas before, it's, hey, you know what? When you're 24, you can walk a guy, but you flash a couple of miles per hour, or you strike three guys out or something, you're good to go. But now it's like, hey, I can't do any of that because it feels like from my point of view, they're looking for reasons not to make a big move, because it's a risk and it's a big move for the team to, if they have to take someone off the roster, or they're going to bring you up, it's a big risk for them,
Right. So,
And
I'm sure there's a bit of luck involved too, just for roster spots to open up or for a player to be traded or something like that. I mean, the opportunity has to come, and there's some things that are just completely out of your control.
Absolutely, and that's the frustrating part. It's just that you can't control that stuff, and that's why, I talked to my wife, I talked to, Tom House and everyone, and they all constantly... they're trying to remind me, because I'm constantly, sometimes pulling my hair out saying, what do I have to do, and that stuff, like you said, it's timing and it's luck. I never forget, Jamie Moyer came down and talked to us when I think I was 18 or 19 or something, and he said, I was clueless to how it works, and he said, sometimes guys, it takes luck and it takes timing. I was like, no, all you got to do is pitch well and good to go. look at that. Through the years, you're like, wow, he was spot on with that, because, like you said, it takes timing and luck and being in the right place at the right time, and you just hope that you're doing the best that you can be doing when that time when that time's right, you know?
Yeah, sure. Well, hopefully you'll have a little bit more control of the situation. I'm in the off season. Are you a minor league free agent again? Is that what happens after the year's over?
Yeah, I am. I'll be a minor league free agent after, I think it's like 5 days after the World Series.
So, okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, last offseason I was in early January, actually, for the Mariners. I had a bunch of teams come out and look at me, and, I was trying to light the radar again up like I was 17 years old again, you know? That was 10 a.m. on an early January morning. So hopefully I don't have to get through that again. Hopefully, team looks at me and says, well, hey, this guy's doing well, and, sign and get into big league camp somewhere with someone and be in right place at the right time.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully Seattle will take a look at you again. I mean, we'd love to have you back, man. We certainly miss you here.
I'd love to be back in that organization. I was hoping that happened this offseason, but, it didn't. So, that'd be great.
Hey, I want to, and a couple years ago you did an interview with Jeff, and you said something in it that I thought was super interesting, and I wanted to kind of revisit, based on what you've said today. You said, I'll quote you. You said, I realized how much I lost my ability to compete. I stopped being myself, a guy who goes out and fights for every out, a fuck you attitude, not a guy who tries to trick guys. There's a huge difference in hoping that a ball misses a bat and believing it's going to miss the bat.
It's funny. 2010, I don't want to open up the yearbook for another hour, but, for example, 2009, I had one start, I got injured, some stuff went down, I got optioned back to AAA. So I had this attitude, not to drop an F-bomb, but fuck these guys.
Right.
I'm going to shove it up their ass. And when I went back to the big leagues, I had, hey, wait, try doing this, try doing that. I was like, no, screw this shit. I'm just going to do what I do, right, and just be myself. And just carry right after hitters. One of my best friends, Grant Balfour. You ever watch him pitch?
He
reminds me about that. He throws four seamers right down the middle, and guys just swing right through it. He's constantly at him. And the other guys, Willie Bloomquist used to say, he's like, man, he's up and in, and then he's down the way, but he's always in the strike zone. He's always coming at you. So it's like, that because he's competing. And in 2010, I had all this stuff. I'm arbitration eligible, and I have a chance to establish myself, and blah blah blah, all this kind of stuff. And I started, trying to, kiss everyone's ass and listen to people way too much. And then what I tried to do, I started pitching not to fail, so to speak. I went out there, and I was like, okay, all I have to do is put up mediocre numbers, and I'll be okay. I can just limp to the finish line, so to speak. And instead of just saying screw that, let's go out and just fucking try right down the middle. If it's two, 0-2, just attack this guy. Or if it's 0-0, just nibble because maybe my fastball's not good enough. Or maybe I have to start trying a two-seamer down the way every time. It's like, screw that. I'll throw a four-seam flat fastball down the way. So I've been doing it for years. Do it. Here it is. Hit it. I totally got away from that. And that's not good, especially a guy like me, that is not good whatsoever, I wasn't competing at all, I was pitching not to get hit. It's like, you walk in and have a fight, and you go, stand in the corner and cover up your face, that's what I was doing, as opposed to attacking the guy,
Right, yeah.
That's the mindset I had, and it wasn't, trust me, pitching's not fun when you're doing that.
Yeah,
that's
well,
for sure.
Well, it certainly seems like you've got a little bit of that back this year, pitching out of the bullpen kind of exclusively for the first time in a while, right? I mean, it seems like the past few years you've kind of bounced back between starting and in the bullpen and stuff. So,
exactly. Last year I put up good numbers. PCL is a tough league to pitch in. Put up good numbers. I felt great, but I wasn't 100% healthy. My back was a bit of an issue. I was, like you said, I was bouncing back and forth, and it was really hard to sort of set my feet into a role. But this year I'm having a great time, and I'm just trusting what I have. It's like, this is what I have, right? Here it is, hit it. If I got 0-2, there's slim chance you're gonna get a hit. If I got 0-1, I can do this to you, and then I'm good. And that's a good feeling. It's fun to pitch. I'm having a great time pitching, when you're competing like that, and when you have that attitude, when you, you know, when you have that the alpha male kind of body language out on the mound, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about having that body language on the mound, I was thinking about Grant Balfour, and I mean, you were talking about him on the mound. I mean, maybe it's his favorite moment. Maybe it's my favorite moment. Maybe it's yours. But in the 2008 playoffs, he's got Orlando Cabrera on the at the plate.
Cabrera, yep.
Oh man, yeah. Cabrera's jawing at him.
Great.
Sit the fuck down. That's great. The best. That's the best, man.
Yeah, that was when he's talking out. I remember I was in a physical therapist office, and I was jumping around. And I was like, "What am I doing right now? I'm going nuts." Oh, great! That's one of my favorite moments. It's funny because I mean, he was one of my groomsmen at my wedding in January.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who know baseball, and they're like, and they see him, and they're like, and the only time they ever see him is when he's dropping F bombs and going nuts. But he is like the one of the nicest, most like just. Not quiet. He's definitely not quiet. They're just nice. He's like, do anything for you kind of people. And they just were in shock. You know, they see him pitching, and then they see him just sitting at a table, just chilling out, laughing. And they're just like, this is two different people. You know, it's funny. But that's just how he is. You know, he loves it. So, you know, it's good to, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's good to be that way.
Oh, it's great, man. I wish more pitchers were like that. I love seeing that kind of battle and emotion. He's so entertaining to watch. I mean, I absolutely love the guy.
Oh, yeah.
How was pitching in the World Baseball Classic? That was actually probably, was that a tough decision for you? You know, knowing that you'd have to kind of take some time away from the spring training and all that when you're just trying to get in with the new organization?
No, it wasn't a tough decision. I kind of stalled, like, you know, I was talking to the Red Sox last year out before Christmas. I was talking to them, and I kind of said, hey, look, can I wait before, I want to go to WBC first because there's maybe some opportunity to go pitch over in Asia, which, you know, would be something I'd be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty simple for me. I definitely wanted to play. It was the first time I got to play and since the Olympics for Australia. But I'll be honest with you, it was disappointing because we got over there and, you know, just from day one, I kind of felt like it wasn't the same feeling like it was playing for Australia in the Olympics in 2004. It just wasn't the same chemistry. It was a great experience and stuff like that, but it was a real letdown because I just didn't feel like, just with the team, it just didn't feel like a real good team dynamic, and guys were all over the place, and we didn't do well. So I left there a little bit frustrated and a little bit disappointed, but it was definitely a good experience, and definitely, I mean, I love the WBC, I think it's a great event, I think it's awesome. I just wish more people would embrace it. Yeah, different countries do. It seems like the U.S. just don't embrace it like some of the Latin countries and Asian countries do. But I think it's a great event. I watched the Highland games after that.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I think just the experience is disappointing just because I think we could have done a lot better than what we did.
As a pitcher, how do you feel about the timing of the event? Because there's been a lot discussed about some people think it should be in the middle of the year, maybe replacing the All-Star game in kind of like a World Cup type scenario, because it's just difficult with all the professional pitchers on different schedules and pitching spring training, and they're not sharp, and you don't want to add extra innings. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with that. There's really, the problem is, though, it's like there's really not a good time to have it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, okay, when's the best of the worst time? What I'm trying to say is, the pick of a bad bunch as far as dates go. This is what you get. I could never see it. I'm not sure what they do with hockey in the NHL with the Olympics. I'm not even sure when they have that. I know they have, these guys are talking about, their situation. I just think baseball, I think for that to happen, the U.S. Would have to, embrace this WBC a lot more, and that might be difficult in order for that to happen. But the pitchers are definitely not sharp whatsoever. And, with the pitch counts and this and that, it's kind of to me, it seems more like an exhibition, a world exhibition, as opposed to, a true, who's the best country to be the world champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's like a long time for that to happen. It's just really, there's really no other dates to really have it, you know?
Yeah, and I agree, and I think the best way is to, if they wanted to make it serious, is like we said, to kind of maybe have it during the All-Star break and have it be kind of a World Cup event, but it just seems like it's unrealistic to do every single year. You know, teams be losing momentum, and because you have to take a couple weeks to do it, at least in the middle of the season, and then you'd start the season earlier, so there's a lot of logistics that would go into that. But I love the event.
Yeah,
I think it's super cool. Yeah. But I'm with you on the exhibition type stuff.
Yeah, it feels like, and the thing is, you know, if you had it mid-season, well, let's say Verlander gets hurt, and then you got the playoff chase coming up right after the All-Star break. You know, it's like, let's say Verlander gets hurt or something. Well, yeah, or so-and-so sprains their ankle or whatever, and then they're out. It's just, there's just really no good time to have it, especially with the way pitches are structured. I mean, especially, I come from Australia too, where my family are like, well, why are they having it this time? It's like, because they don't understand pitcher scheduling. They don't understand how pitchers have to build up and training programs and stuff like that. Because in Australia, you know, obviously, different sports, it's just totally different. I think the pitching kills it, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a major problem. How do you think the state of baseball is in Australia right now, anyways?
You mean, like, are we talking the professional league? Are we talking kids development?
Yeah, just kind of as in culture. How is its place in culture and in popularity?
It goes through ups and downs. Like in the mid-90s, when I was a teenager, you know, pretty fortunate to sort of going through an up time, because mid-90s was catching a bit of momentum. They were showing a ton of games on primetime TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, like, you know, I was 12 when I started playing. I had nothing on TV except the 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when I was, you know, 15, 16, all of a sudden they were showing, they had the Australian Baseball League, which they show games on the weekends. But then they'd have like the timing, like they'd produce a game to 2 hours, I'd cut out whatever, and they'd show Major League games, and they'd have Australians commentating it. I know it sounds ridiculous, but they'd basically sit there and commentate it. But for me, I mean, I loved it. And that was kind of, and then people were collecting baseball cards, and there was, you know, you'd see like a Yankees hat, and you'd see a Dodgers hat, and whatever, and it started, you know, gaining some steam, momentum, and then it just dropped off again. And now it's like, you know, it'll gain momentum again slowly. They've got the league out there now, but the league's just hemorrhaging money. They're just, I don't know if it's the people running it or whatever, but they just, the way they're, you know, the first of all, the level of competition isn't that great. And I feel like just with Australia, with its population, 20 million or so people, unless you're playing rugby, cricket, or you're surfing,
mm-hmm.
You really, if you, you know, as a, you know, let's say you wanted like corporate sponsorship and stuff, you're not going to get these big companies paying attention because there's really no money to be made. You know what I mean? Like, they're just they're not going to jump on board, and that's what I think it takes. I mean, I know soccer's starting to gain a little bit of momentum, but it'll never be just where it could be, just because, solely because even rugby league isn't, I mean, you know, rugby league, I don't know what they make per year, but it's nowhere close to what you get here in the US for sport markets, you know? So it's always going to struggle, and I think for kids to really embrace it, they have to have local, you know, like local leagues to watch and stuff like that, because it's just, you know, with a bit of time difference or prime time TV and stuff, it's very hard to get, you know, major league games on TV over there in prime time, you know, situations. So it sort of goes through ups and downs. It's funny, I always tell people, hey, you know, fly over there and have a look. You know, my father-in-law, David Osmer, went over there, and you know, I think someone had just signed a big contract, and this is in the off-season, he's looking through the paper, he's like, hey, how come they haven't told me about this guy's contract? And I'm like, because you're in Australia, that's why no one cares. Like, that's just the way it goes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just funny, but I think for Americans to really understand how Australia is in baseball, you really got to go out and then find it. You know, you're basically scratching and clawing just to make a little bit of money, and that's tough. And then obviously kids, you know, need to have something to watch, and there's really nothing to watch because, you know, the people, there's just no money to be made, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if there's something that Major League Baseball can do to market it better. You know, at least now access, international access, you know, got MLB TV, and you can watch live games with the local broadcasts all across the world. But,
yeah.
I mean, obviously they're going to be watching them at, like you said, 3 in the morning. So it makes it difficult.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my good friends, yeah, he's watching all the Red Sox games now, and, you know, he's never played baseball and whatever, and he's paid for the MLB TV package, whatever, and, oh, man, this is great, you know. I just don't pick people, because you don't have that for, I mean, for example, if you I grew up in Newcastle, right, and the local rugby league team there is the Newcastle Knights,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is, it's even tough to watch Newcastle Knights games on local TV, because they only really have the game of the week on Friday night, so, and that could be Melbourne versus Sydney. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just funny. Like, it's just a different culture when it comes to accessing games and all that kind of stuff. They're, you know, 10 years behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a shame, and I'm just curious to know too over there if, you know, the those that are interested in American baseball and in Major League Baseball, is the interest more in like a team that they follow, or is it just like they're interested in a player and the team is not nearly as important?
I think the team. Yeah, I think when people are interested in baseball, but, yeah, obviously they're interested in baseball as a whole and access and stuff like that. But I find, you know, when I go back home and, yes, one of my sister's colleagues or something have traveled to Boston, for example, and gone to Fenway Park. Next thing you know, I've got my Red Sox hat, and I keep up. I go on the internet and check out how they're doing. I think if they come to the US and they go to a game, or they just see how the magnitude of baseball here in the US, or football, whatever it is, they go home and all of a sudden they got the shirt and the hat, and they're following that team because that's the city they went to, you know, so you find a lot of New York's, Boston's, and LA's because that's where Australians go, San Francisco, that's where Australians travel, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely the same for a lot of Americans. You know, if they go over to Europe and they go to a place in Europe and they see a soccer match or something like that, that's the team that they're just going to root for. And, you know, if they go over to Australia, they go to Newcastle and they see a rugby match in Newcastle, then, hey, they'll be a fan forever, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Same thing
was
here, yeah.
Good stuff, man. Well, that's all I've got. Hey, I really appreciate you taking the time, man. I know that... I'm sure you're busy, or maybe you're not, but either way.
No worries, any time. If you need anything from me or anything like that, just you got my number, give me a call.
Awesome, man.
I've got all the Mariners, all the guys there now. If you want their numbers, I can just leak them all to you too, so you can just start harassing them and get interviews.
That's good, man. Yeah, I absolutely will. I'll pass it along. And hey, man, I hope maybe we get a chance to see you in Seattle again.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Trust me.
All right.
Yeah. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.